I'm going to call this meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 9:07 on Thursday, March 6, 2008. Let the record reflect that there is a quorum. Present are Representative Sisna, Representative Dahlstrom, Representative Newman, and myself, Chairman Ledoux. We've only got one item on the agenda today. That is HB 387, an act limiting the number of published telephone directories that may be distributed to a household. If it's the will of the committee, we'll move this out of committee today. But I'd like to call the sponsor of the bill or her representative up here to testify. And I know some people have some questions.
For the record, my name is Jim Asturis, I-S-T-U-R-I-S. I'm an intern for Representative Berta Gardner, and I'll be carrying this bill for her because she is in D.C. right now for the Energy Council. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 387 would limit distributors, publishers, and utilities to leave only one phone book on a doorstep, unless a member of the household requests otherwise. This is a simple bill with two simple goals: to reduce consumers' need to deal with this excess phone books and waste, and to also reduce the stress that is being placed on recycling centers and landfills. Currently, phone utilities and directory distributors distribute one phone book per phone line. Because of this, homes with multiple phone lines will receive more than one copy of the exact same book. The intent of this bill is not to hinder utilities and distributors from advertising. Utilities and distributors will still be able to deliver their directory to each home. It simply requires that they place only one on the doorstep. Representative Gardner has expressed a dismay that she feels when the annual stack of phone books shows up on her front door. Her feeling is that these extra books are completely unnecessary and a burden on those who do not require these extra books. Before the bill was even introduced, we received an email from an Alaskan describing how she received 17 books, in some cases, three of the exact same book. For companies that have three books, for instance, a White Pages, Yellow Pages, and a Mini Pages, if a customer has three phone lines, they will automatically receive nine books. This bill will reduce the burden on consumers and recycling centers and landfills. In the Anchorage Recycling Center, they received about 252 tons of phone books in 1 year. Because these books are more difficult to recycle compared to other paper products, passage of this bill would help to reduce the amount of books they need to process every year. For the landfill situation is even worse. Because phone books are more compact type of paper, they don't degrade as easily. They need to, like all paper, it needs to be mulched if it's even going to biodegrade. And the situation in landfills, we have all these books that are stacked on top of each other generally, and they do not decompose at all. While we hope this bill will change the behavior of telephone utilities and directory distributors, we are aware that the bill does not attach any penalty. Because of this, we are trying to avoid a situation in which people gather up multiple books and claim that a company left all of them on their doorstep. For example, if a GCI customer is angry about their cable being shut off, or if an ACS customer has bad reception on their cell phones and they decide to take it out on them, these are the situations we were trying to avoid. We have been in touch with Assistant Attorney General Ed Sniffen to try and come up with a penalty that would work well with this particular legislation. However, due to time constraints and busy schedule, the bill lacks this aspect. However, Representative Gardner is open to suggestions from the committee regarding a penalty of some sort. And if this bill passes without a penalty or fine, we hope that utilities will consider taking on what this bill asks. Representative Gardner's office has received many emails in support of this legislation. While gathering information on this bill, the word got out, and the response has been very positive towards this legislation. We wish for you to support this bill, as many Alaskans already have. And I'm here for questions, and we also have Rich Gazaway, I believe, will be able to answer any questions regarding from RCA regarding regulatory issues, and Michaela Sato from the Alaska Center of the Environment is also, I believe, will testify today.
Thank you. I've got a couple of questions. I gather you've been in touch with the Attorney General's office. Have you gotten any opinion as to the constitutionality of this bill as a limit of free speech?
I've not talked to Ed Sniffen specifically about this. I've been mostly in contact with Brian Kane, the drafter of the bill, and the woman who also assists him in drafting those bills. And she knows the legislation, and there really is, in her opinion, and when I talked to Brian before, that there is no conflict because the books are still getting out, and they will be distributed to each home. And so we don't really see much of a problem with that. In other states, there have been problems with opt-in, opt-out directory services where someone can call in and say, I don't want to receive your book anymore, or you have to call in to even get a book. In these cases, there's been some serious constitutionality questions in those states, and generally that those pieces of legislation have a lot of trouble. But this one we believe is a simplified alternative to add a limit, you know, without hindering free speech and the free market.
Do you have anybody here or online that could testify to that?
I do not have anyone here right now to testify on the constitutionality of that. I could, we could get in touch with Brian Kane to testify at another time if there is serious doubts about this, and or the assistant drafter.
All right, thank you. I've got one other question. Is there a problem? Okay, so suppose somebody is getting too many telephone books and they call ACS or GCI and they say, will you put me on a list? I only want one telephone book. Have the utilities refused to do that?
Madam Chair, I have not asked them specifically about their practices regarding this. I understand GCI already tries to limit it to one per household, and as far as complaints regarding telephone directories, there hasn't been many regarding number distribution. I'm not sure exactly if ACS or GCI or any of these other advertising books that aren't affiliated with any telephone utility, I'm not sure if they have any opt-in, opt-out type of program. If they do, that's great, but I just don't know if they do.
All right.
That actively.
Thank you. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I have several questions. Is it okay if I just
certainly
go through them? All right, Jim, thank you so much for being here. It's the first time you've testified in our committee, and it's nice to get a chance to meet you, and thank you. I have a couple questions. You talked about the recycling process, and if I understood correctly, you stated that there's a different type of recycling this paper that's necessary for phone books so that there is an added expense to the landfills. Did I understand that correctly?
Through the chair, Representative Dahlstrom, because the paper is a lower grade compared to like the papers that are sitting here in front of me,
mm-hmm.
there's and the bulk of them, a lot of them come already pre-wrapped in the big pallets, and there is some issues as far as binding them together, and it does make it a little bit more difficult. I'm not exactly sure about the extra cost and if it's a substantial one, but there's definitely because of the compactness.
Do you know if Representative Gardner has considered having conversations with maybe the landfills, and I know that they have existing rules and regulations of what they will and won't take. If they on their own chose not to take these, then the company that delivers them would need to be the one that would have to have a, you know, repository for the books to come back to them that people don't want, and they would incur the expense, have to have the employees, you know, whatever, to have them recycled or whatever they choose. Has she had those conversations?
Sorry. Through the chair, Representative Dahlstrom. As far as what I've come to understand, the landfills, they do have some recycling bins there, and they do, so they can put those in there. And as far as a lot of the companies already gather up those books, mm-hmm. for whichever don't go out, and they put them on the big pallet and send them off to the recycling centers. So they are active in trying to do as much recycling as possible. So that I'm not going to say definitively that they already have these in place, but my impression is that they do, but I'm not going to.
Okay, I know, Madam Chair, I just went with my daughter this summer. We did a massive yard cleanup, and so we had the fun of going to the dump together, and there were certain places that we needed to go to push certain things out of the back of the pickup truck, and then there were certain things that were not acceptable, you know, that they wouldn't take, and we needed to go to a different place and mm-hmm. and pay or find someone that wanted them. But something else that concerns me is this analysis that pertains to the RCA. I just participated on an RCA task force that met extensively, and we listened to the RCA and every one of the commissioners and a lot of the people that work for them. And the bottom line is that the report that the task force turned in is that with the existing staff that the RCA has and the pay scale, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the reality is that they are having a hard time not only retaining people, but recruiting new qualified people to come and work for that agency. Also, those that are there are working extreme hours. There's no such thing as an eight-hour day at the RCA. And so when I read, you know, the RCA expects to implement the provisions of this legislation with existing resources, it's been stated on record many times that the existing resources don't even allow them to do the things that they're mandated by law, by tariffs, you know, for all the other utilities. So that concerns me as far as putting that on the RCA's plate. And I guess overall, I have a little bit I think her, Representative Gardner's intent is good with trying to not have waste and everything, but I have concern as to whether this is actually something that the state government should be regulating. And so I, you know, with that, I'll leave it to others for questions.
Representative Cisna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And actually, this is actually somewhat comment and a question as well. One of the things that I have been hearing from all of my constituents, and that is there, certainly the disgust in the numbers of things that wind up on their door left, and especially if it happens to be towards the end of the week, when in fact so many people in Alaska are gone for the weekend. And the larger the pile, the more notice there is that you're not home. And if those things pile up with other things, then it's a crying declaration to the neighborhood that here's a house that's going unmonitored. So I can certainly see some enormous value in trying to cut down what homeowners don't ask for. And that's one of those, that's private property when someone leaves something. They don't leave it in a mailbox, which is covered. They leave it on your doorstep. And I've come back from a weekend and had them, and it's when you have a huge pile, we've got four lines, so times however many, it's times four publications, so that's 12. That's pretty hefty. Second, on the recycling issue, and I come from a long background of working on recycling, first because Anchorage didn't have its current landfill, and landfill was a real problem. Anchorage's landfill right now is state-of-the-art, and it was built to last a long time. However, what I have heard is that it is filling up much faster than people thought. And yes, if you do take your things to where you can dump things and there's recycling separation, that's great. But if you put it in your garbage can, that all goes as in mass, because there aren't that kind of personnel to go through every single person's garbage as it is. And yes, Anchorage is working towards having a curbside pickup of recycling, but they haven't gotten there yet. And until that time, it is absolutely true. Like me, you have 16 issues of something, and they're in a wrapped pile. You're likely to take out the things you want and toss, if you don't recycle, into the garbage. And so those things will not, they will not break down, and what happens normally in garbage is it gets wet and it goes down. It will fill up the very expensive landfill. And that's Anchorage. We're not talking about the rest of Alaska, where they have enormous problems with landfill. And they're trying to find places to put it. And I'm thinking of Skagway, I think, has an extreme problem on landfill. I think many other communities do. So I think this has benefit. I think what would be good would be to hear from more people. But to me, in terms of free speech, the important thing is that everyone has the opportunity, every company, every whoever, has the opportunity to put that there, that they can put one copy there. So it's not limiting speech. But burying me in paper is not adding to my freedom. And I don't think it's helping theirs either. So, thank you.
Did you have a question?
Did the representative actually talk? Well, we've got someone from the Alaska Center for the Environment online, actually, now that I think about it. So, and the person who from the Alaska Center for the Environment's name is?
Michaela Sato.
Is it Michaela? And Madam Chair, could we have her speak to what she knows about in terms of the recycling?
She's on the line to testify.
She's on?
Yes.
And we can't ask her a question.
Well, after she finishes testifying or during her testimony, you can ask her a question.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Any further questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Okay. And then I have a couple also, Madam Chair. Welcome, Jim. Are you nervous? Don't be nervous. When this... Is there an effective date on this? So that if you've got companies who've already requested publication of this, maybe we should have you would consider an effective date of when this would go into date, because if companies already have an expenditure out there, there should probably be a way to have an effective date on this, so that I'm sure they probably pre-order them a year or two out. So you might want to consider that.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, we're willing to consider an effective date at a certain time out. I understand in researching this, I understand that generally each region has a certain time in which the phone books go out, and so we're willing to take that into consideration and work towards whenever the grant cycle gets to start over again, and then we could try and have that as an effective date. Good. But we are willing to consider that and add it on there also.
Yeah, I think you should maybe come back with an effective date so we know what that is. I'd like to know about your discussion that you've had with some of the utility companies. Because my staff took the time to call MTA and several of the companies in our area and they only send one per household if they can, because it costs them a considerable amount of money to publish a book. And they would just as soon not send you two or three if they could only send you one. So have you, and your, has Representative Gardner had a discussion with these companies at all to talk to them about this issue?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, we are aware that there are companies out there that have been trying to cut back. They don't want to produce as many, and they only place one. And we applaud them for their efforts. And you know, this bill is not aimed at them, really. We understand that there are people out there who are trying to reduce waste, and but this is primary not aimed at them. We're just trying to get the ones that do produce this extra waste.
So the answer to that was no, that Representative Gardner has not had discussions with these companies?
We've been in, through the chair, Representative Newman, we've been in contact with ACS and GCI, and I understand that, from what I understand, GCI has taken efforts to distribute only one. So we've been trying to touch base with utilities.
So the discussions that you've had, and you have to speak up a little bit.
Sorry.
A little bit. So some of the discussions that you've had with the companies, you said GCI and ACS, they are trying to mitigate this issue, and they're taking steps to try and do that without making it, a law.
Yeah, I haven't, to the chair, Representative, I understand that they are trying to, there are companies out there trying to work on this. I'm not, I'm not sure if who exactly has is still in the process or has not taken this up completely. We're hoping to just put this out there for them to come in conformity with this, and hopefully they would be able to.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is Representative Gardner has called these companies and talked to them, and they're trying to take steps to mitigate this without having to go through a legislative process of making law. Because a lot of times I've found that if you start making some phone calls and talking to people, they're pretty receptive to trying to help as much as they can, because I don't think these companies want to fill up the dumps or people's mailboxes or their end of their driveways any more than anybody else. Because it costs them quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. And so I think the answer is I'm not quite sure if they have or not. If Representative Gardner has taken the steps to call companies and talk to them, I think that they are. Is that the answer?
I'm not sure exactly which companies have undertaken this or not.
Or if Representative Gardner has called them, or do you know if she has?
We've tried to stay in contact with GCI and ACS. Primarily.
Yes?
Yeah.
Good. Also, I wonder if we talk to some of the recycling centers, and we've got somebody from the Anchorage Recycling Center. So if they could maybe require that these books be shredded before they come to the repository, you know, or the dump could, instead of coming all in on a pallet, and I really understand what Representative Sisson was saying, but if they came in shredded or something like that, I mean, if they have to start coming with an extra expense to deal with that so that they can decompose at a faster rate. And also, you know, if they can shred these, can we come up with different industries in the state, because this can be used for packing materials? And I'm trying to think of an economic development opportunity here where we can, you know, if we do have these extra phone books like that, if we can use them, I mean, worm bedding, whatever the case may be. I mean, as somebody who likes to go out fishing a lot, that's a passion of mine, and I know that I think they use some of that for that purpose. But and it's the same thing with old newspapers. And I have a burn barrel, you know, where I live, so I burn a lot of that so that we don't have to haul it to the dump, because it's kind of difficult for us to go get to the dump. But so I just wondered what type of discussions have gone on as far as alternative options on these, you know, as opposed to, because I really do have a concern about, you know, a free speech thing. If we, you know, and I said it somewhat jokingly before we started the committee, But what if you had an act limiting the number of published telephone directories and political flyers? Or newspapers, or religious flyers. I mean, is there, I think that we're getting onto some areas there, and then, Madam Chair, I think we could really should have a discussion on that. You know, where does it start and stop, or where does the state's, I guess going to Representative Dahlstrom's concern, is where did the state inject itself into this discussion? In what type of discussion can we have to maybe promote other alternative options for this, again, shredding or business opportunities? With that, has other states looked at this? You mentioned other states, and that there might have been some constitutional issues there, and I couldn't quite hear you what your discussion was there. But you thought you found another way of doing it that other states didn't. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, as far as to one of your earlier, through the chair, Representative Newman, to one of your earlier concerns, there we've taken a look at some of the alternatives to using phone books, and you know it would be an interesting area to look at as far as other industry. From what I've come to understand, most of the phone books that are actually produced are actually 90% phone books. So there is a cycle going on there. But as far as where the state comes in, and I was hoping to kind of get to that earlier. We've tried to find a neat little place to put this as far as enforcement, and we've looked at RCA, and we've looked at and we're also in talking with Assistant Attorney General Ed Sniff, and we've his suggestion before we could put it in the bill was that we look at maybe the Department of Conservation, DEC, and talk to them and have a discussion with them about if there was a penalty attached to that, if they would be able to enforce it as far as their role. And the RCA kind of, we were thinking about having it there. That might not be the best place for it. So we're thinking in EPA or DEC. As far as what other states have attempted to do, the opt-in, opt-out directories, they've had what they do is the legislation requires the companies to maintain these lists of people who call in and say, "I wish not to receive a phone book," and that has run into somewhat seen. The opt-out one seems less restrictive as the opt-in, which basically requires people to call in and decide which one that wins they want, and that is seen as more restrictive and has had a lot of problems in Hawaii, which has attempted to undertake the opt-in directory. But as far, this is, I spoke to the product stewardship in Massachusetts about legislation in other states, and this is essentially a unique piece of legislation regarding phone books. There's nothing else like this. The other attempts have not gone well as far as the opt-in, opt-out directory. So we feel that this is a better piece or a better alternative to those pieces of legislation which haven't gone very far.
Just a brief follow-up, Madam Chair. So, Jim, I believe you said that, trying to remember it back here, you said that no other states have any legislation similar to this, and you also said that, and don't get me wrong, I think this is a good idea. I mean, the concept here, I support the concept, but I'm trying to think of the most practical way for the state to make this happen and the legislative process in the 90 days that we're in and all of the above. And you said that companies don't have an opt-out list that doesn't work very well, and I'd like to hear from GCI and MTA and, you know, some ACS, some of these companies to see what are their Do they have an opt-out option? Because I would think that they would like that.
You said they don't. Did I say they don't work well? I was talking about specifically the legislation in other states that has attempted to pass that doesn't work. We see that doesn't work well. If the companies can institute it well and they can get it going, I would assume it would go very well.
And Assistant Attorney General Sniffen said that there should be a discussion that goes on with the DEC. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, because the feeling is that it would probably fit better within the DEC opposed to RCA.
So our regulation instead of statute?
Partly regulation, we'd like to see it in statute also.
Okay, and just as another option, while I'm here, is, okay. You know, if we could compress these into pellets, with people are trying to start burning wood now and things like that and use them as a source of heating fuel with the price of fuel the way it is. I mean, it's other options I'd like to explore. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I've got a question for you. One of my concerns with this bill is I got about 5 telephone in my house, and I kind of like to have a telephone book next to each telephone. And I've run into the situation in Kodiak where they just bring, let's say, 3 telephone books, and then I got to go and run and get another telephone book, which in Kodiak isn't a big deal because they have them stocked outside of Safeway, so I can just get them there. But in Anchorage, I think there are only a couple of places where you can get telephone books. So I'd be concerned that, no, you only get one telephone book if this bill passes. And then the onus would be on the consumer to have to go down there and get the other telephone books because they probably aren't going to come out, you know, another time to give you the rest of your telephone books.
Madam Chair, it's where we have the, we put that in the bill that unless they request otherwise, and we could put that on the individual companies themselves to figure out the best way for that to work. We have not stipulated exactly how they do it, whether it be a mail out, check here if you want more books, call us up and we'll deliver more. And that's kind of where I think we could go with that if that is a problem, and it could be a discussion that's a discussion we'd be willing to have.
But either way, you're going to put the onus on someone. Either the utilities are going to have to spend time and money redelivering telephone books, or the consumer is going to have to go and get the telephone books. And probably, since most consumers don't read legislation when it's hot off the press, they're not even going to be aware of this until they, you know, see just one telephone book on their porch and they realize they've got, you know, 4 other phones there. So that's kind of my concern here.
Madam Chair, as far as that might be something we can tie into the question about the effective date that Representative Newman brought up, and as far as informing the public about this piece of legislation and letting people know exactly what's going on. I think that could be something we could tie into that particular discussion.
Thank you. Did you have a question, Representative Sisson?
I do, and I wanted to thank you for, I thought, a pretty pretty thorough look at the fact that that this legislation, compared to other legislation, had really gone out of their way to put this in a context that really puts the benefit for the citizens that are receiving the phone book, and yet it also
pays attention to those who are delivering the phone book, in that rather than go the way that other states have done, where they have the phone company obviously have people opt in to how many they're going to get. This one makes them deliver one, and so people will get it no matter what. And it, certainly with my phone company, all they'd need to do is on the bill put how many do I want in addition to what I'm automatically going to get. That's a pretty simple thing to do. And I do appreciate that really paying attention to how do we make sure that we're going to get what we need in this state, and nonetheless protect the phone companies too. So I think my constituents who have complained about it was sitting here trying to think through the numbers of different times I've had people bellyaching to me. They weren't thinking of legislation, but they were sure bellyaching about it. So I appreciate the representative's hard work on this. The other thing that I hope I hear from people testifying is about the history of recycling, which goes back, I know, to 1972. And I do think Representative Newman's concern about utilizing materials that have not been chosen to be used by other people that are valuable resources. We've never had any decent legislation in this body that really gave some kind of incentive to small business. And that's one of the real problems, is we haven't looked at it the way you're looking at it, Representative, in this body, and made sure that we did give incentives so that we could create businesses in this state that really start doing the entrepreneurial work and making sure that we've got more and more people kind of living off the land in a whole different way. That's a good thinking. Let's see. What else? I was going to ask a question, but my problem is, I was going to ask about the legal issue of the opt-out, and if there's anything on that, anything that's easier or harder, that kind of thing, on that other states have found. But you probably said a lot on that. You may not have seen that kind of.
To the chair, Representative Sisna, the legality of an opt-in, opt-out directory.
Yeah.
It becomes more of a question about businesses advertising. Generally, the feeling is for those, the opt-in, opt-out directory, people who are against it, is that if the advertisers in the phone books can't get their books out to everyone in all these different forms, that's a disservice to the small business, and that's one of the main problems that with this legislation is the question of these small businesses that advertise in these phone books and how that can get out to them, and it is kind of a free speech issue, but it's also for the advertisers, the revenue they generate from these books, but also the people who are advertising in them, also to get their message out to everyone. And we feel that this bill, the message they're advertising for their business can get out there. It's just that, you know, how many advertisements does everyone really require to get the message?
Thank you. Representative Dostrom?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. I have a few questions and just a comment. Representative Sisna, you brought up the leaving the phone books on the doorstep, which I think your concern is valid as far as, you know, security type issues. But I'm wondering, in this same bill, could we then regulate the UPS could not leave anything on our doorstep when we're gone? And that determination is made when someone goes and fills out the form, and then the fee that they pay determines whether it's left on the doorstep or it has to be signed for and handed to a person personally, I think we would run into a huge problem if we tried to regulate that. So I don't know how you could regulate one and not the other on that reason. There is an email in here who is actually from someone from my town who talks about have received at least 5 different phone books. And I think there is a little bit of misconception. There is not any kind of a law that says there's a limit on the amount of companies that can be created to form phone books. It's a business now. It started out being a service. It is now a money-making business. So even if this bill were to pass, people are still going to get 5 or 6 or 7 different phone books on their doorstep, and a lot of it is repetitive information. I think that the savings in cost to the landfills versus what it the cost to the state in regulating and determining a telephone utility that does not gross $50,000 annually versus one that does not gross $500,000 annually, I don't know that that even, you know, offsets, you know, as far as looking at it as a cost savings. But really, I think some of the suggestions that Representative Newman made are really good and timely towards this bill. I would almost encourage the sponsor of this bill to let me put it this way. If it was my bill and I'd heard what was said today, I would probably rewrite this bill and ask for a hearing in economic development and trade and see about ways of taking these phone books and doing something with it. I think it's, the intent is good, but I think it's unconstitutional to pass this bill. And I think that it's not the state's business to regulate this type of thing. And you have done a fantastic job of research and everything. So this is by no means a reflection on your testimony or lack of information or anything. It's just my philosophy on business and what the state should and shouldn't be involved in.
Thank you. Any further questions for Jim? Thank you very much. And you did a great presentation today. We really appreciate you coming here.
Thank you.
I'm now going to open this for public testimony. We have two people on the line. Barbara Winkley. Barbara, are you still on the line? And please identify yourself for the record. Barbara?
Yes, my name is Barbara Winkley, and I'm a resident of Anchorage.
Yes, do you have testimony that you'd like to give today?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead. Hello? Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to testify? Would you like to tell us what your thoughts are?
Yes, I. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
First time I've been here for a while. So, okay, to members of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, my name is Barbara Winkley, and I'm testifying this morning to give my support to limit the distribution of telephone books to each household. I would be particularly grateful to your committee members if you would support this bill, because at a recycling meeting that I attended last year, when I complained about the number of telephone books that were distributed, Kevin Herron asked me to check into it. Since that time, I have been coming and going, and the assignment disappeared in my gravity filing system. My name is now Mud. We all know that most of these telephone books do not get recycled, but end up in the Anchorage landfill. Many apartment complexes may have dozens of surplus telephone books that end up in their dumpsters. I am getting too old to dumpster dive to retrieve telephone books and take them to the recycling center. In the interest of saving energy by avoiding extra trips to the recycling center, as well as conserving paper, I urge members of the committee to support this well overdue bill, and thanks to the sponsors, Representatives Berta Gardner and Les Garra, for for sponsoring this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Winkley? Thank you. Okay, the next person on the line is Michaela Sato. Would you please identify yourself for the record?
Hi, my name is Michaela Sato, and I'm with the Alaska Center for the Environment.
Thank you. Go ahead with your testimony, please.
Good morning, members of the House Community and Regional Affairs. My name is Michaela Sato, and I am testifying on behalf of over 6,000 members of the Alaska Center for the Environment, ACE. ACE supports HB 387, an act limiting the number of published telephone directories a utility may distribute to a household. HB 387 would limit the number of telephone directories a utility is allowed to distribute, while providing households with the discretion to request additional copies as needed. This bill is not an opportunity to opt out of receiving a phone book from a utility, but helps to manage the hassle and waste created by the duplication of these directories. Additionally, it evens out the playing field across utility companies. In 2007 alone, 252 tons of phone books were recycled. However, that is only the books that were recycled. Many directories are thrown away, adding unnecessary waste to our limited local landfills. HB 387 is a reasonable, common sense solution to unnecessary waste produced by printing, delivering, and duplicating phone books. In return, Alaskans will save energy and resources used in the production of these materials. On behalf of the over 6,000 members of the Alaska Center for the Environment, a vast majority of which are Alaskans, I would like to encourage you to pass HB 387 from your committee. Thank you very much for all your hard work, and thank you for allowing me to testify today.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Ms. Sato? Again, thank you for coming to testify before the committee. We also have Rich Gazaway on the line for questions. Rich is from the RCA. Does anybody have any questions for Rich?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rich, this is Representative Dahlstrom. Were you online and able to hear the comments that I made about the RCA earlier?
I'm sorry, your name got cut off when I got unmuted.
Okay.
Representative Dahlstrom?
Yes, it is. Were you online earlier and able to hear the comments that I made about my concerns with having the RCA being responsible for overseeing this because of already short-staffed and heavy workloads? Did you hear any of that?
Yes, Representative. I heard your comments.
Could I have your comments on that?
Well, we are taxed with projects. We do have a person dedicated to regulations projects, and my presumption is that if there was a statute to be passed, reforming the regulations to comply with that statute would be not as controversial as other regulations dockets. It would entail expense and time, though.
And then just to follow up, just having completed the study that we did on the task force, my understanding was that the entire RCA from top to bottom is overloaded, you're short-staffed, and there's no such thing as an eight-hour day there. This would, even though this issue might not be controversial, such as a hearing pertaining to regulation or deregulation, that type of thing, my feeling is that it just adds one more thing to your plate. Have you had discussions with any of the commissioners on this, and are you at liberty to comment on how they feel about it?
It would add to our plate. I haven't discussed the issue specifically with anyone other than our chairman, and basically the dynamics of that conversation was to conceive our fiscal note and to determine if we would be able to utilize existing resources to fulfill the obligations of the bill, under the bill. And so that's kind of the parameters of our conversation. And the conversation was, we could find fit in within existing workload levels. Again, it would be enough. It would take time and work, but we do have a person involved in handling regulations.
All right, thank you. And then, Madam Chair, just a comment. I find it interesting that we don't have a comment from a single phone company in here. And so if contact has been made, I'm wondering if they just don't take it serious or if I mean, they certainly have their share of PR people and regulation utility departments, and so I don't know if, you know, I mean, if they've been contacted and just haven't had time to respond, but I find that interesting because they do get very involved in any previous bills that have had anything to do with whatever type of utility. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Cisna.
Well, in the interest of wanting to conserve paper, I thank everyone that didn't send something in because the piles of paper on some of our bills. Although, fortunately, we have many, many bills that we hear that we don't hear from anyone. Anyway, Mr. Gathaway, I'd like to ask a question. How do you see your responsibilities under this bill? And this bill is a page, you know, it's essentially, if you take the title out, it's one page long. So I'm not getting a good feeling of what your responsibilities would be under this bill. And then the other thing that you could speak to, so I don't take up a lot of time, would be what kinds of things that you will probably continue, even though you've got a really heavy load, in terms of working for the public and making sure that the public sees your entity as supportive to what is a user-friendly bill.
Well, first of all, our duty under the statutes is to regulate public utilities, which would include the telecommunications companies that would be subject to this bill. And we have a regulation, as I spoke of earlier, that requires the requirement that each subscriber get a directory for each line served, where there's a main, we use the terminology main station, which means where a phone number is attached to. So for each phone number in your home, you get a book. That's part of our regulations. So we see the statute as guiding us regarding that regulation and removing that requirement that's imposed on telcos right now. As far as, and I guess the second half of your question, I'm not exactly sure how to respond to that. Our duty would be to comply with the statute, to set the guidelines for the utilities as clearly as we could to effectuate the meaning of that statute.
Follow up, Madam Chair, thank you. And I guess, to my thinking, I'm trying to, and you would have a better idea is what I was thinking, of how onerous this would be. This one is asking the companies to have people let them know if they want more. And I think this all of a sudden opens up an avenue, I think, for the public to actually realize that they have some control over what gets deposited at their household. And I think people do like having things dropped off, but it's the piles that I think people haven't thought about. I don't honestly see this one as being the kind of thing that you get a lot of complaints about, but you're the one that maybe has a much better idea of that than I could guess.
Representative, I'm unaware of any complaints we've had regarding the provision of telephone directories. What our regulation requires is that a certain number be provided free of charge, and then they can impose a reasonable charge for additional directories. I have not, like I said, I've not been informed of any complaints in that regard, and I assume your bill would, the question I would have regarding your bill is whether there would be any limit imposed on, if they provide one per household, how many do they have to provide for free, or when they may they charge for a directory? And I'm not sure what the situation is. We haven't been actively involved in that issue since it has not been brought to us as far as what their charges for additional directories beyond what's required by regulation.
I don't think it has any charge, does it? I don't know.
Do you have anything further?
No. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further questions for Mr. Gathaway? Is there anybody else online who wants to testify? Anybody here in the audience who would like to testify? All right.
Just a comment, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Before we gavel out, I'm looking around the room here, and I see 12 issues of our Alaska statutes that are 1 to 2 inches thick, and there's one of those in every office here, and I know we've got them in Wasilla too, and that happens every other year right here in this building. We got the same issue right in this building, so thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to...
We've got them outside our door.
I'm going to hold this bill. When we hear this bill next, I'd like a legal opinion with respect to the constitutionality, and I would also like to hear from the utilities about this. It is 10 o'clock, and so I'm going to adjourn this meeting.